I'm Ebong Udama, and I cover Connecticut political news for WSHU Public Radio. Staying well-informed is essential to a well-functioning democracy. Understanding facts and filtering out noise takes work, and our mission at WSHU is to help you do that through coverage from our newsroom, NPR News, and the BBC. We're expanding our world together. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Governor Lamont reacts to conflicting messages from the federal government about state funding. Long Island police unions endorse Kash Patel for FBI director. The ACLU of Connecticut says civil liberties are now at risk, plus how climate change is impacting one important New England plant. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Governor Lamont says it's been a roller coaster of a week with conflicting messages from the federal government about funding for states. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
State agencies received panicked calls on Tuesday from organizations that were confused about a memo from the Federal Office of Management and Budget that said there would be a temporary pause on federal grants. While the White House says the initial memo has been rescinded, its effort to review federal spending has not. By Thursday evening, Lamont said he still wasn't sure what was going on.
It's a confusing mess. We thought we had clarity yesterday. We thought OMB had pulled back their dictate. We thought the courts had said that we're going to put a pause on this at least through next week. So we thought we had some clarity on this. And now we're finding that each and every one of the departments are coming out with their own special set of restrictions and rules that can harm us.
Those regulations include the Department of Public Health cutting any DEI-related programs and the Department of Transportation favoring new bridge and highway construction in states that have tolls, high population growth, and are deporting undocumented immigrants. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The police unions on Long Island have endorsed President Trump's controversial nominee to lead the Federal Bureau of Investigation, WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
The Nassau and Suffolk County PBAs wrote separate letters to the Senate Judiciary Committee this week, laying out their support for Kash Patel, a former prosecutor and vocal Trump ally. The PBA president said Patel, a Nassau County native, will be a valuable partner to local law enforcement agencies. At his confirmation hearing, he faced tough questions from Democratic senators on his past comments in support of the January 6th defendants, whether he plans to prosecute Trump's so-called enemies, and whether the FBI under his watch would be independent from the White House. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The Connecticut Council of Small Towns celebrated their 50th anniversary at their annual town meeting this week. Executive Director Betsy Gara says funding freezes was a hot topic among municipal leaders at the event.
They're very concerned about funding that has been frozen because they can't move ahead with projects. And projects are generally on very strict time frames. A lot of the work has to be done in the spring. And if they can't begin to move ahead, it's going to be a real problem for a lot of important projects, roads, bridges, culverts, etc.
Cost advocates on behalf of towns with less than 30,000 residents at the state capitol. Governor Lamont told municipal leaders the state was in a good financial position and said he would present his new budget on February 5th. One of the most important plants in New England may be something you've never even heard of. That story is ahead. Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Colombian-born Canadian musician Carlos Bastidas is the artistic director and principal conductor of Ontario Pops Orchestra, a musical group he founded in 2014. The 2023 debut album Breaking Barriers includes Baroque concertos featuring three up-and-coming soloists. You'll hear a bassoon concerto by Antonio Vivaldi from that recording on Sunday Baroque this weekend. Sunday morning at 7 on WSHU Public Radio.
A Connecticut man was among the victims in Wednesday's Washington, D.C. plane crash. Casey Crafton of Salem is being remembered as a member of his town's Little League, a youth soccer coach, and a father to three kids. Former Long Island Congressman Lee Zeldin has been confirmed by the U.S. Senate to lead the Environmental Protection Agency. The vote was fairly close, 56 to 42. Democrats questioned Zeldin on his lack of experience with environmental issues during his confirmation hearing this month. Only three Democrats voted for him. Bridgeport officials denied rumors of immigration officers at the city's public schools this week. Online rumors had circulated for a few days of ICE agents at two of their schools. Bridgeport police say they found out they were false after a thorough investigation. The district has told school officials that immigration officers are not allowed on school grounds without permission from the superintendent. Suffolk County legislators will vote whether to allow wireless cell phone towers on county-owned parks next week. Supporters say it will expand coverage for parkgoers and allow emergency communication. Opponents say it could disturb the environment and create a dangerous precedent for future private development in public parks. The ACLU of Connecticut says civil liberties are at risk. That's why it's ramping up statewide outreach efforts. Eddie Martinez interviewed one Greenwich resident who says she's aware of what's at stake.
The YMCA in Greenwich is packed with residents closely listening to Jacqueline Blickley, a staff attorney for the ACLU of Connecticut.
We are keeping an eye on ICE activity in the state of Connecticut along with our partner organizations.
Panelists at the ACLU's town hall in Greenwich are laying out what they say are ongoing threats to communities feeling targeted by President Donald Trump once again. Janet McMahon attended the panel and is also a member of the town's legislature. McMahon says many local residents aren't wealthy and deeply care about this on a personal level, even if many at the panel probably are.
It's very diverse. My kids go to public schools. There are two, possibly three Title I schools in our district. And so we're not all rich. We're not all white. I mean, granted, tonight, maybe.
The ACLU says they're wrapping up panels in early February. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Eddie Martinez.
One of the most important plants in New England may be something you've never heard of. It's called eelgrass. It grows in shallow water off the coast, and it's a critical habitat for fish. But as water temperatures climb as a result of climate change, eelgrass meadows are shrinking, and that could threaten fish populations and the environment. This story was produced as part of the Pulitzer Center's Story Reach U.S. Fellowship. Barbara Moran reports.
It's low tide, and just offshore is a hidden underwater world, a wavy green meadow of eelgrass. Onshore, about a dozen kids and their grown-ups crowd around a fishing net spread out on the sand.
Listen up, everyone. There's three rules here. One, we want to get the live stuff either into the buckets or back in the water.
EPA marine biologist Phil Colarusso dragged this net through the eelgrass meadow and laid it on the beach so people could see what lives there. He ticks off some ground rules, like get fish back in the water ASAP.
And most importantly, three, have fun.
Massachusetts has about 19,000 acres of eelgrass off its coast.
A fish! A little flounder!
Fish like flounder and scallops use these meadows as protective nurseries for their babies. Their survival is important for the New England fishing industry and the ecosystem.
That thing just scared me.
7-year-old Valentina Cruz says baby fish only scare her when they jump. She gently scoops this one into a bucket. What'd you find today? Anything interesting?
I find shrimp and just some fish. I love fish. They're nice.
Fish are nice. And without eelgrass, there would be a lot less of them. In the 1930s, a disease killed almost all the eelgrass along the East Coast. And the Bay Scallop fishery collapsed. The meadows took decades to recover. Now, eelgrass faces more threats: pollution that makes the water murky, and climate change warming the ocean. Massachusetts has lost about half its eelgrass in the last 20 years.
And in this area, too, we see that the bed is becoming sort of fragmented and smaller.
Randall Hughes is a professor at Northeastern University. She says the meadows help prevent coastal erosion, and they store climate-changing carbon.
There's a lot of work to sort of restore areas where it used to be and just conserve what we have left.
But restoring eelgrass is tricky. Usually, divers transplant individual chutes by hand. It's painstaking work and not very effective. The most successful project so far, in Virginia, used eelgrass seeds. Scientists want to try that here, but scaling it up will be tough. Hughes says they don't have enough seeds yet.
One of the research projects right now is to try and understand, can our natural beds handle us collecting that many seeds? Because we, of course, don't want to damage natural beds in order to restore new beds.
And scientists want to make sure the seeds they use for restoration stick. Inside the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, ecologist Myrta Teichberg shows off a row of fish tanks holding shoots of eelgrass.
Here's our tank system.
Then she holds up a glass jar, half full of brown water.
So in this jar, there's probably about 100 to 200 seeds that we collected from the bottom of the tank.
It's so funny because just looking at it, it looks like gunky water.
That's like the precious diamonds that we're finding.
Teichberg and her team will study these seeds to see which sprout most reliably and which grow best in warmer water.
If we can get them to grow really well under certain conditions, then maybe we can learn something about what they need to grow well, and then we can kind of plan for restoration. So it's really like I try to think like a seagrass.
Thinking like a seagrass may be just what the meadows need. Because of human-caused pollution and climate change, the eelgrass meadows are unlikely to recover on their own. But with human help, they have a fighting chance. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Barbara Moran.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. Tuesday, February 4th at 6:30, reporter Davis Donovan will be at Wilton Library talking all things off the path, maritime history, pirate lore, and more. Registration is recommended, and again, that is Tuesday, February 4th at Wilton Library. Hope to see you there. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day and have a great weekend. I'll be out next week, but you're in good hands with WSHU's Ada Uzenlar. Talk to you soon.